I'm going to call the January 23rd, 2020 Planning and Zoning Meeting to order. Mr. Zenner, are there any changes to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Thank you.
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Russell. Second by Mr. Stanton. I'll take a thumbs up approval on that motion. Unanimous. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You may want to call roll call.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Call to order, introductions, approval of agenda. Roll call. Mr. Strodman.
Yes.
Roll call, please.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd be glad to. Mrs. Russell?
Present.
Mr. Tui. Mrs. Burns. Mrs. Carroll.
Here.
Ms. Lowe.
Here.
Mr. McMahon.
Present.
Mr. Stanton.
Also present.
And I'm present. Ms. Rushing.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Now that we have a quorum, we'll continue moving on. We've approved the agenda. Approval of minutes. Everyone should have received a copy of the January 9th meeting minutes. Were there any changes or additions to those minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Stanton, seconded by Ms. Russell. Any discussion? Seeing none, I'll take thumbs up approval of the motion to approve the minutes. I see unanimous. That brings us to subdivision and public hearings. Our first case of the evening is case 45-2020. It's a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Cherry Street Hotel, LLC, for a replat of lot 158 and west 65 feet of lot 159 of the original town of Columbia. The resulting approximately 0.41 acre subdivision will be known as Cherry Street Hotel and is located at the northwest corner of Cherry Street and Hitt Street. The request also includes a design adjustment from Chapter 29-5.1, Public Improvements, requesting a waiver from the dedication of utility easements adjacent to public roadways. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. This is a subdivision request and a design adjustment, as you mentioned, for 0.41 acres of MDT, or mixed-use downtown zoned property. This platting action is coming ahead of potential redevelopment of the site. Presently, there are two existing lots that the existing structure and parking lot are over, and then any future redevelopment will also be over. So the consolidation into one lot would eliminate the need to cross a parcel line, which is not allowed under the UDC. We had a public information meeting on December 24th. I sent 20 postcards and did have some folks attend. Primarily, there were questions about what the redevelopment might be. The applicant has indicated that they're interested in a six-story hotel, and in fact, the plat itself is called the Cherry Street Hotel Plat. But I do want to note that at this time, we don't have any development plans that have been submitted for any development proposal. And after the final plat is approved, should it be approved, they could develop anything that meets the uses within the MDT zone, as long as it also meets the development code other related requirements. So because the plat is named Cherry Street Hotel, does not mean that a hotel actually would have to go on this site. The plat in action will provide site cleanup that will allow redevelopment in general, subject to the UDC. We advertised this meeting in the Tribune on January the 7th, and I sent adjoining and adjacent property owners 20 letters as well. So to orient the site, this whole area falls within the MDT zone, which is subject to the regulating plan, which dictates the form and development controls for this overall area. I spent some time looking at the Downtown Columbia National Register district listing. Most of Downtown Columbia is in a National Register district. Several of the properties in the area are either individually listed on that National Register or they are highly contributory to the district. So adjacent properties include the Stevens Publishing Building right here, where we've got Gunter Hans and Sol Taco across the street. An individual listing would be the Coca-Cola Bottling Company, or what's now the Ragtag building, Hitt Street. And then the Niedermeyer building right here as well. So this structure On the subject property is a two-story office building. It's presently vacant with the related parking lot. It was built in about 1935. It is a contributory structure to the overall district, but it has not been individually listed either in the Downtown Historic District record or individually. So whether the building is historic or not, it could potentially be contributing to the district, but it has not had any individual recognition whatsoever at this time. And this here, the kind of sharing a wall right here, is the Cherry Street Center building as well. Oh, so going back to my previous slide, that's the Needham Air. That's our parking garage, our not historic parking garage. So going back to here, I meant to talk a little bit more about this. There was some folks from the public who have called me or attended the public information meeting, and the primary question that I got was, what are they going to do about parking? To kind of get ahead of that, I will say that this is a platting action. A plan for parking does not have to be prepared or available at the time of platting. Platting is land cleanup for potential redevelopment. We'll talk about right-of-way dedication, utility dedication, that sort of things. That's really the purpose of a plat, is to prepare property for development. When we talk about parking, that's really more of a land use related consideration. So at the time of development permitting, or if there's a request for a zoning change, that's really when the parking question comes into play. I will further note that in the MDT, most uses other than some residential do not require parking. So folks who have participated in the update of the development codes in recent years are probably aware of that, but I think other folks may not be aware of that, that there is no direct parking relationship for a hotel. So while it's not required, it's certainly, I think, a question that will be important to the developers of the site and to the neighbors moving forward. The applicant has indicated that they are working to pursue options on that. So going back to the platting action, which is really the matter this evening, like I said, we've got two lots, so all of lot 158 and the west 65 feet of lot 159 of the original town of Columbia are on this property. So this is like 158 or so right here, and then here is that west 65 feet or so of 159. So this platting action would make one lot that would be have the potential to be redeveloped for something on this site pursuant to the uses that are permitted in the MDT. With the exception of the one design adjustment that they're asking for that I will go into more detail about here in a moment, we do find that the plat is believed to be consistent with all other subdivision or platting requirements of the UDC. And I'll go into that a little bit more here in a moment too. So the plat specifically dedicates the additional right-of-way half width on HIT that is needed. So HIT is a local non-residential street. It requires a 66-foot entire right-of-way corridor or a 33-foot half width. So this plat would provide that that piece of right-of-way that's missing to have that full 66 standard. It also has the required 30-feet corner truncation here to facilitate turning movements and then pedestrian improvements at the corner of HIT and Cherry. It provides the minimum 5-foot corner truncation at Alley A. The code idealizes in the downtown, especially for new alleys, that the turning or the corner truncation at alleys and public streets, such as the situation, be between 10 and 15 feet, but 5 is the minimum, and they are providing that. More significantly, though, they are providing enough right-of-way for the alley half width to meet the idealized standard in Appendix A of the UDC. So that, I think, is significant. That also has a corresponding impact that even though we're not getting additional corner truncation on the alley, the fact that we're moving the right-of-way or the building envelope further to the south here does have a positive effect, in essence, on that turning radii corner right there. So the design adjustment that they are requesting this evening with this subdivision plat is from Section 29, 5.1G4 of the UDC, so this is public improvements. Here they are asking for a waiver from the required 10-foot utility easement dedication adjacent to public streets. So in this case, it is one request, but it's two streets, Hitt Street and Cherry, that they're requesting to not put the 10-foot utility easement adjacent to the public street. The code talks about, to the extent possible, utilities shall be located in designated easements and not in the street right-of-way. That's why we have this provision. But in the downtown, as we've talked about over many previous subdivision plan actions, most of the utilities are within the street. So it's a little bit different than a green-filled, new street, new road, new development type situation. We have a built environment. So we see that this design adjustment process where they're requesting a waiver and they provide facts and we weigh our facts really provides an opportunity to carefully weigh the context of the request and the facts associated with it. Most importantly, in the downtown, I mentioned that we have this regulating plan. And so that really dictates the form of all new development within the downtown. And one of the most important factors within the MDT regulating plan is the required build line. So that creates a shared plane that separates the buildings from the public realm. It's usually right at the sidewalk. It's a build-to line. And so all new buildings then, or street walls if there's not a building there, go to this line so that we have a shared plane of where public space, private space, and buildings occupy. So one of this fosters a pedestrian environment. It makes a cohesive urban form. So on a large block situation, you might have multiple facades on one street. So it's a way to merge those together in a way that provides a meaningful urban fabric. As we've talked about in previous plan actions downtown, there is a known conflict between the required building line and that 10-foot utility easement. So if you have the full 10-foot utility easement, you, in essence, have a de facto 10-foot setback from that RBL. You can't 100% meet either one. However, as we've talked about in previous cases where we varied utility easements to address the built environment, it doesn't have to be a zero-sum situation either. So it could be that in this instance, we maybe do need a little bit additional utility easement to address where existing utilities are placed, or where we may need to put in a bigger line or something of that factor. Or in other instances, maybe we vary the RBL just a little bit to accommodate that one way or the other. So within this 10 feet of space, there is opportunity for some compromise through the design adjustment process that we're going through this evening. We've had recent plats from council. We haven't had clear direction on either waiving the required building line or the 10-foot utility easement in whole in the downtown. So without additional policy direction, because that's one of the five criteria for design adjustment that you'll consider, we really are going to keep doing this case-by-case analysis each and every time. That allows us to look at each situation. Where are the utilities? Do we need any other room for utilities? Or can we, you know, go for the whole RBL? So just we talked in the past, too, about how planning actions are opportunity to reserve these areas for future public improvements. So really thinking about our capacity needs now and in the future. If we don't get it now, then in the future we may potentially have to pay for it or have other compromises that may affect the community at large. But as I mentioned, we do have that desire to promote that cohesive public ground and that downtown urban form. And we really use the RBL as our primary tool to achieve that new development. So in this instance, after looking at it and discussing with utilities staff, which included sewer, electric, and water, all three were directly reached out to for this, the consensus was that the utilities serving the site are presently located within the existing street right-of-way, and even in the future, when considering existing capacity, maintenance, capital, that sort of thing, that they don't think that we need this utility easement for this location at this time. And then here on this picture, I have a couple pictures of where the RBL conceptually is for these two facades. So here on Cherry Street, it's generally where the existing parking lot meets the existing sidewalk. And then here, you can see a little bit more what the impact might be if this building right here, the existing building, is torn down and moved back 10 feet to allow for that utility easement while we lose the ability to have this shared plane where the existing Stevens building and then the Gunter Hans patio currently is now. And this Gunter Hans patio right here is kind of a nice example with the alley right here of what a street wall function can do to maintain that same cohesiveness even when there's not a building directly there. We have that landscaping and then other fencing materials to maintain that plane. I will not read the five criteria for a design adjustment unless you would like me to. tier if you'd like it, but the five criteria are specified within the code in terms of the things that you should be considering and also what staff considers when making a recommendation on whether or not a design adjustment should be supported. So to summarize those five things, we don't see that this design adjustment request to be inconsistent with the comprehensive plan or any policy direction we have presently received from council. If we get additional direction from council in the future, we will adjust accordingly. We don't see adverse impacts to adjacent property owners. We don't see the design adjustment inducing dangerous conditions in terms of site circulation. We are addressing the unique characteristic that the utility provision in this area does appear to be sufficient within the street, and we don't see that there are adverse impacts to public health or safety. So taking into account all of these things, this evening we are recommending approval of the Cherry Street Hotel final plat as well as approval of the design adjustment as requested.
And if we may, when you vote, if you will vote, please, with two separate motions, one for the plat and one for the design adjustment.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon. Before we move to commissioner questions, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had any expertise on this case to relate that to the commission now so we all have the same information before us. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Mr. McMahon.
This is a point of order, not Ms. Bacon knows where we're going. I would request that we request of council for us to address this. I'm not sure council is sufficiently aware of this conflict that we have seen before, we will continue to see between the RPL and the utility easement. It's a situation where one of our presenters this evening, one of our agency has run into before, and we're going to keep running into it until it's... To me, what we're doing right now is going back to the good old days where we just kind of wing it. That's like I said, we need to ask council to ask us because they don't understand the magnitude. I don't believe they understand the magnitude of this issue. So we can address that conflict in the MDT. Thank you.
Any additional questions for staff? I see none. So we will open up the floor for public comment. If anyone has comments that they would like to offer on this case, please come forward. We need your name and address for the record. You have 3 minutes. If you're speaking for yourself, 6 minutes if you're speaking for a group.
Madam Chair, members of the commission, Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. Mr. McMahon, first of all, thank you for the comment regarding asking council to ask us to address this. As you were aware, we've been here before. We've asked this very same design adjustment on other properties in the downtown area. I came down prepared to talk about the conflict, but I think Ms. Bacon did an excellent job of wrapping it up, talking about what those conflicts are. I've been down here before, I've expressed the concern, and it really kind of puts us in a predicament because if we're going to require us to be within 18 inches of the property line for the building, we have a 10-foot utility easement. Obviously, the conflict exists. So until that does get resolved, and Mr. McMahon indicated, we're going to continue to ask for design adjustments for downtown properties. Again, this is a final plat. We have not submitted any construction drawings to the city at this time. It is just for the platting action that's before each night. There is significant right-of-way being granted for this plat, both along Hitt and the Alley Street itself, roughly about 13% of our total property is being granted in right-of-way. So in the downtown area, that's a significant amount. When we take in the truncations for the alley, as well as 10th and Hitt, Hitt and Cherry, it is a significant impact on this piece of property. My client has been in contact with the manager's office, is my understanding, to talk about the parking situation. So they do want to address that. Certainly with a hotel downtown, you want to address that. When you bring in clientele, you want to make sure they have a place to park. And so they are working on that situation. They do have a surface lot about two blocks from here. So that is possibly one option, as well as some other possibilities of city garage if there's space available as well. So they are in the process of discussing that with the city manager to get that worked out. And again, it's a plat in action. I'm happy to answer any questions that the commission may have.
Thank you, Mr. Crockett. Are there any questions for this speaker? I see none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any additional speakers on this case? I see none. We'll close public hearing. Commission discussion. Ms. Russell.
I like the idea of a hotel there, especially when you think of True Falls Festival and all the people down here for that. So I do like the idea for that. And any other comments? If not, I'll go ahead and make some motions.
May I?
Mr. McMahon, did you have a comment?
I do have a comment. while I agree with you conceptually for True Falls, it might be a wonderful thing. I worry a little bit about crowding out. Pitt Street's already pretty hopping as far as foot and automobile traffic. And I think we should be cognizant. I do like the extra widths that they're granting. That's fantastic. FYI, the water and the sewer in that area is a serious problem. We've had issues with it before. Just some things to think about. Ms. Russell. Or Mr. Stanton, I'm sorry.
Mr. Stanton.
This is all speculative and possibly could be a hotel. So if it possibly would, it would be great that they would be very creative and innovative with the parking issue. I envision maybe on-site parking underneath or something. But, yeah, parking will be an issue. And infrastructure always is an issue. So maybe someday we'll address it downtown.
Any additional comments?
In the motions that you will make, if you will please make the design adjustment motion first, given the platting action is contingent upon that design. So if you do recommend disapproval of the design adjustment, you would, in accordance, need to recommend disapproval of the preliminary plat.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. We have two motions, just a reminder. Okay.
Okay.
Ms. Russell.
In case 45-2020, the Cherry Street Hotel, I move to approve the requested design adjustment to section 29.5.1G4 pertaining to the dedication of the utility easements.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on that motion? I see none. Mr. Strodman, we have roll call, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. Mrs. Russell.
Yes.
Mrs. Carroll.
Yes.
Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
No.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Motion passes 6-1.
Thank you. Ms. Russell.
Second motion, in the case of 45-2020 Cherry Street Hotel, I move to approve the final plat.
Second.
Second by Mr. Stanton. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? I see none. Mr. Strodman, may we have roll call, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Mrs. Russell.
Yes.
Mrs. Carroll.
Yes.
Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
No.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Motion approved 6-1.
Thank you. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That closes our subdivision and public hearings. Moving on to public hearings. Case 28-2020, a request by Brush and Associates on behalf of Thomas and Pam Carden for rezoning of approximately 0.44 acres of property from PD, planned development, to MN, mixed-use neighborhood. The property is addressed 1001 North Providence Road and is located at the northwest corner of Providence Road and 3rd Avenue. This item was tabled at the January 9th, 2020 commission meeting. May we have a staff report, please?
So this is a continuation from the public hearing at the January 9th meeting. I would like to give a brief staff report just for the sake of the public, anybody watching, if that's okay. Okay, so this site is northwest of 3rd Avenue and Providence Road. It's 0.44 acres. It is on PD, planned development. It does have an approved planned development site plan for the site. It's presently improved with a parking lot and a commercial structure. It's housed the AQ Beauty Supply recently. The request this evening remains to rezone the property to MN. Following the January 9th meeting, we spent some time talking to the applicant about the proposal to revise the existing PD plan statement of intent to expand the uses allowed on the site to include general retail and restaurant, but to not include alcoholic beverage sales on the site. There's also some discussion about the existing requirement that the hours of operation be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Following working with the applicant on this, and after they talked to their potential tenant, they have decided that they would like to continue to ask for the MN straight zoning at this time rather than amend their plan development statement of intent in terms of uses. So looking at the site, this property has recently been improved with the new coffee shop that is also zoned PD. We've got Hickman High School here as the largest neighbor directly to the east. Business Loop is up here, and then this is the North Central and Ridgeway Neighborhood Association over here. So this is that existing adopted plan development plan that the existing building and parking lot have been built to. It has a little bit more stricter enhanced landscaping that was part of the approval, but it also has a little bit of a reduction in parking on what would typically be required for a building of this size. As I mentioned, it also has a 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. hours of operation regulation. So this was approved in 2006. The most recent statement of intent, which primarily has personal services and office uses within it, was approved in 2009. At the January 9th meeting and also tonight, I will say that we have gotten very few public comments on this request. It hasn't garnered a whole bunch of public attention, and we haven't heard anything official from the Ridgeway Neighborhood Association or the North Central Neighborhood Association. That remains today. If this site is zoned to straight MN, as the applicant has requested, all of the permitted retail uses within the MN zone would be allowed. We talked about this at the last meeting. Specifically, alcohol and tobacco sales are permitted for sites that are more than 100 feet from a school. Measuring from the nearest wall of Hickman High School to this site, it is more than 100 feet, so alcohol and tobacco sales would be permitted, as would all retail sales. Additionally, we don't have an hours of operation limit, with some exception on neighborhood protection standards within the MN zone. So the 7 to 7 requirement would go out the window. The site plan controls inherent to having a PD plan would go out the window if it's rezoned MN, and all uses permitted under the MN zone would be allowed on this site. We are sympathetic to the applicant's concerns that PD plans and SOI amendments do cost time and money to prepare and go through. That can be challenging when they've got new users coming and going from the site. There is some inherent uncertainty in the process, and you know, coming to a public hearing such as this does require time and energy. For staff as well, amending PDs also causes time and effort for us, but here on this site, we do feel as though there are benefits to having that controlling site plan and that SOI at this time. This is a neighborhood that has experienced some commercial creep and cut-through traffic. In recent years, the neighborhood was heavily involved with the preparation of this original PD plan and the controls contained within it. It's not at the node. We've only got a little bit of office through here. We do see some MN up here as we get closer to the commercial node, but at this time, staff's recommendation would be to work within the parameters of the existing PD and to amend the SOI rather than open up the doors to go straight to MN zoning. That being said, though, it is identified as a commercial district on the Columbia Imagine Future Land Use Map, and an MN designation would not be inconsistent with the comp plan. So taking into account all of those factors, that we've talked about this quite a bit at the previous meeting as well, staff is recommending denial of the zoning map amendment to MN at this time.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon. Before we move on to staff questions, I would like to ask any commissioners if they've had any ex parte on this case to please share that in front. So all commissioners
have
that.
But I am recusing myself from this discussion, so.
Thank you, Ms. Rushing. Mr. McMahon.
I'm waiting for the next.
All right. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Mr. McMahon.
Ms. Bacon, I know for a fact that the North Central neighborhood did not receive your email. The president's my roommate. We've had this discussion. And I'm a little surprised. I saw Pat Kelly just 2 days ago that Ridgeway has not weighed in, yay or nay. We might want to check that stuff out. Just because North Central would certainly have discussed it. I'm not going to speak. I know them well. You know, some of them would say yay, some of them would say nay, some would have questions. They'd probably be here. Just FYI.
Any additional questions for staff? Mr. Strodman.
Ms. Bacon, you mentioned in your presentation, maybe I misheard you, is there some limitation of hours in MN or there is not any limitation?
There is not. There's some neighborhood protection things that talk about noise. There's some things there, but it's not a direct hour type of thing.
Gotcha. And then just to help refresh me, because I was not here that evening, but when we did when the PNZ did the coffee shop just north, how much neighborhood input was had regarding that case, if you remember? Was that a very active neighborhood?
Yes, it was, if I recall correctly. The site plan and the aspects of where the accesses are to that site were significantly discussed, along with, I believe, screening and buffering. That was the extent of that discussion. If you recall, also, the staff was not supportive of a planned district on that property. The planned district allowed for the drive-through use to be incorporated into its approval, whereas if it was zoned MN, which I believe is what would have accommodated and what we were recommending, the drive-through would have been a conditional use application on that site. So the purposes behind the PD were to partially address the issues of the drive-through and the inconvenience of a conditional use process, and then to address, I think, the broader concerns of the neighbors in order to ensure that there was actually a document that would require the improvements that have been made to the screening and buffering that were beyond generally what would have been required due to neighborhood protections.
My last question, Ms. Bacon, would there be any discussion to try to restrict access to Third Avenue so that maybe you would try to reduce amount how much traffic may be going through? Because I see Third Avenue potentially being the road that people would potentially choose if they're going to cut through, you know, and I personally think Providence is going to be the priority, and that's where most of these drivers would choose would be Providence. But let's just assume they do want to cut through. Would there be a way to prevent somebody from coming? I mean, obviously there's a way to prevent it, but would that be a consideration so that you couldn't turn right onto Third Avenue? And I mean, would that not? I don't know how that would work.
I would suggest, and we'd have to look back at the public record as it relates to the drive-through outlet on Forest. It is actually, if I am not incorrect, that is a right out only.
You are correct.
Part of that, I believe, also had to deal with the Bike Boulevard associated with that, and that was one of those neighborhood objections. They didn't want traffic flowing back into the neighborhood. This particular structure and its access is given where it's located without having a with a restricted right movement going out, potentially that would create other issues. I mean, the building has been there since 2006 or 2009, if I recall correctly. It was built shortly after the actual last amendment to the SOI. And the site plan's not being proposed to be amended. It wouldn't be proposed to be amended, actually, as a part of any statement of intent revision. So while it is possible, I guess to get to the short answer, is possible to, if you were to entertain an amendment to the statement of intent, in exchange for amending the statement of intent to incorporate additional uses, the retail use, you could offer for council's consideration a traffic circulation requirement that it's tied to. My concern would be, again, the outbound movement of that. I mean, you're still going to end up, if you can't make a right-hand turn out of the site from its internal parking lot, you're going to end up coming back out on Providence and make the right-hand turn back onto 3rd. So I don't know if we'd really gain anything by reducing cut-through traffic.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner.
If I may, real quickly, I'm sorry to interrupt to answer your question specifically. 3rd Avenue has become the neighborhood ingress now that 4th is closed. So there's a lot of left in there. Just that's the road to use now.
I think one of the points that we were making in not recommending approval of the MN is that we can't condition MN approval at all, and we lose any conditions that we had inherent to the PD process.
And I would further add, as Ms. Bacon was going through her report, the applicant is not asking to amend the structural footprint of the building. So the expansion that was discussed in the statement of intent, if that revision were acceptable by the applicant, really probably would have accommodated all future uses for the building footprint that's been built to its maximum as per the 2006 approved plan. So I would suggest that the uses that would have been incorporated in a revised statement of intent, given the capacity of the site parking-wise, and with all things held constant, really gave probably the greatest opportunity to utilize the site. The hours of restriction were a concern to their prospective tenant, and I believe that may be one of the reasons for not desiring to move through a planned district statement of intent amendment, but we'll let the applicant speak directly to that. That would be my impression, but no request came forward that we wanted to build a building bigger to accommodate something else, and even if they did, the park, they're not parked to it. And that then, all of that works together. So it's still, it becomes the concern of losing those inherent controls that the plan district provides, and then the uncertainty of the potential uses from a retail perspective that could be there.
Mr. Stanton.
Two comments. Comment number one, Mr. McMahon's point, I think the community association has spoke. They were vigorous on the coffee shop, and they were vigorous with this existing building. The PD plan gave those protections that the neighborhood expected. So they've made their peace. They've made their discussions already. That's why this is a PD plan, and that's why they were very active in the coffee shop. So they've made their discussion. Second point is, let me get this clear, staff, from our previous meeting on this subject, am I clear to hear that the applicant or its advisors has denied expanding or modifying the statement of intent? That's what I'm hearing.
That is our understanding, yes. But the applicant is here, so I would encourage you to ask that question again of them.
So as I read it, it's basically the same thing that we argued the last time they were here. It's the same position they're standing on. Okay.
Ultimately, the applicant gets to decide what it is that we vote on. Yeah.
Any additional questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll open up the floor for public comment. Please give your name and address for the record.
My name is Thomas Cardone, 1206 Court Street. Oh. And can we show these pictures?
Yeah, if you could, we will need copies if you show. If you.
You can take all the stuff. Okay.
I can pass it.
Could put it up in there.
Yeah.
On the aerial.
Do them on the overhead.
Oh, that will work. Yes. The old school.
Thank you. Okay, this time I'm not going to spend too much time like last time. So I'm going to be quick and fast. We know the building is there. We can move the building. It's going to be there. And when I'm looking last time, Ms. Beckon talked about this map to look up the zoning. And I'm looking at the zoning. Can you show this one? The coffee shop, it's right there, my building next to it. Those two new buildings, the best-looking buildings in this area, that picture shows right there, when I bought it, that's what I bought it. And that's what I built after that. I don't think any of the neighbors, they like to see that build, the old house hanging like this. Somehow find it, that picture. So the we have looked up this map, Ms. Beckin gave me, and I'm looking here, next to the coffee shop, it's a forest street. And if you look it up next to the coffee shop, the forest street all the way back to Grant Street, we're talking about 20 houses, they're zoning MN. People live in the house, there's nothing wrong with that. Those houses, if you look up those two streets between my building and the Taco Bell and the Grand Avenue there, we have 20 houses zoning MN in my building, a beautiful looking building. And I can get that MN. I can't choose anybody to rent the place. If I have that MN, they're not gonna choose in me. I'm gonna tell them. That's the way you want it. Last time we was talking about the company wants to move in. No way to accept them. They want me to pay 6 months rent free. They want me to clean the snow, do the mowing yard. They want me to change the building inside, make like a grocery store. The only thing the building, they delivery. And they delivery, they want the option 24 hours. And I say, no way. They want me to spend another $100,000 to make some kind of supermarket there. They're gonna put a three-phase electricity, all the stuff around. No way for me to accept something like this. But if I have MN, I choose who's gonna be in my building. He make me the lease. Look like he's the owner. The only thing he did put in the lease to tell me, Tom, every Monday, every day, go clean the parking lot. Everything else is there. They want me to remove the snow. They want to do the green area. They want me to give them free rent. That's the choice I got. I have no other choice to go MN. That way I choose who's gonna be in the building and I wanna protect the neighbors. Because those neighbors back there, I have no problems with this. I like the neighbors there. But the problems come from somebody else don't even live in that area. That's a long story. When day comes, I can talk about that sometime. But right now, I like to have them, and that's the only zoning. Because years ago, we tried to get a parts store. The parts company was Gorlopek Auto Parts Store. We're doing business for a long time. We're zoning for a parts store. But it was too late. The parts store moved to St. Louis. We buy parts from them, buy store by between $5,000 and $7,000 every month parts. They sell parts the whole area. They was looking specific by location, and they say, okay, this is what we need. And after we take 10 years to get the zoning for the parts, they moved to St. Louis. We lost that big company there. Only thing they delivered to the stores, nothing inside to sell. They deliver to repair shops. Amazon buy from them. O'Reilly's buy from them. We buy from them. It's a big company. 24 people working there at that store. That's why my other son's supposed to be on that store. And he was the one zoning. He was 16 years old in Hickman High School. He's zoning this thing. He was here. I'm sure you remember, right?
I did not. It was before my time, Tom.
No, I remember you. You was here. My son was here, 16 years old, from Hickman High School. He was here. And my daughter's here. She was in fifth grade when we started zoning. So I think it's not fair to me not to have that man. That's the only choice I have. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cohn, I didn't want to interrupt you. I wish to ask you a question if you're finished with your presentation.
Go ahead.
I just want to clarify, it is your hope by zoning to MN that you will have more freedom to rent this in a manner that's profitable to you.
I'll rent somebody I want it. This company we was talking about last time here, they make the lease the way they want, not the way I want it. No way to accept these guys. They want to sell beer, they want to sell alcohol, they want to sell tobacco, they want to stay 24 hours open. Not me.
Could you explain to me your thoughts on why you don't want to do a PD versus MN?
Well, I've been here 18 times. How many times I have to be here back and forth? If I get the MN, I can find a place to rent. The guys living rent the place right now. They got a lease for 5 years. These guys, they want 3 years and made this and made that and all kind of stuff. Those guys has been there, they've been good for 5 years. The lease was 5 years. And after 5 years, he came over 6 months. He said, Tom, can you rent me the building 5 more years? I said, yeah, I'll rent you 5 more years because you helped me to pay the bills and the bank, the loan. And he said, how much is going to be the rent? I say, whatever you pay today, the same thing you pay. I want him to make money, not to go out. But I don't think they're going out of business because of the location. No, I think internet killed him. We know the building, it's good. The building looks good. The only thing that's missing are that building, the zoning. If I have the zoning, I will have to be here every time. I've been here too many times. I can't be back and forth. I'm getting old. I'm not getting young. So if I'm young, I say, well, I got plenty of time. So this building is going to, my kids going to take it over. And someday they're going to say, you know, my father or my grandkids say, my grandfather left us a mess. This is a mess, like the way it is. If I have the man, I don't have to come back here for anything. I choose who's going to be in the building. Thank you.
I don't have any more questions for Mr. Cardone at this time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Any additional questions for this speaker? Mr. Stanton.
Your son made a very good case last time he was here. Why isn't changing the statement of intent enough to satisfy what you need?
Last time when my son was here, would he have any information from them? The Mali Real Estate is supposed to come over here. He told me, Tom, I'm going to represent you. You be next. And they didn't have any information. Now we got the information. Any of that information you need, my daughter got the papers they gave us. She got the information, what they wanted. No way for me to accept that. They want me, I rent the building, I don't rent a supermarket. If they want to make it a supermarket, they can do whatever they want. But I'm not gonna spend $100,000 in the building for 3 years lease and then say, I'm going. The only reason I don't want them there, because the alcohol and tobacco. When I built this building, I was so happy. Nobody can sell alcohol, tobacco, bar, because I'm tired of that stuff. I've been 35 years next to the bars. 3 bars, not one, 3 of them.
See, that's
and now they change the rules, and they say 100 feet. What do you mean 100 feet? Make a mile away from the school. Not 600 feet, whatever it was before, 5, 6. Make a mile. Because if you never work on the bars, or the place I am, we're next to AutoZone, it's just Thompson Ports right on the corner. Daytime, it's a paradise. Nighttime, it's a war area. Shooting, killing, and dealing. But 6 o'clock, we're going home. After that, you can't go back there. The club vote is the worst one. I've been there next to them, next to the club vote, the bar, and after I was the old building that I was there for 20 years. And then I moved to the front. And still, they got them next door. Every morning I have to clean all the mess, all the garbage, all the bottles, all the, you name it, what is there every day. So I don't see anything, I don't think this building, that those past 10 years, I don't think the neighbors have any problems with those guys. That's the kind of people I wanted. But they don't have any problems. Nobody, no of the neighbors complain. The guy mowed the yard for him. He lives 3 houses behind. The guy do the snow remover. He lives across the street from him, on that other side, on 3rd Avenue. People working in there, they live around that area back there. So what's wrong to have somebody good and get some more work there, get some more people put into work?
Any additional questions for Mr. Cardone? Thank you, Mr. Cardone.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Galatia Cardone. I live at 4103 Hartfield Drive. Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. As my dad said, I've been watching this since I was a little kid. The reason why we want an MN is that whoever the next tenant comes in, we want to find a suitable tenant for the neighborhood, just like the one that we have now that is unfortunately leaving. Otherwise, every new opportunity that comes up will have to come back in here, and then that new company or tenant will not want to wait for the city to approve of a new ordinance. But there, just a few roads down, there is a neighborhood where there are 6 homes right now that have MN, and their homes. We are an asset to this neighborhood, and we've been a part of this town for forever. So, I mean, we're not going anywhere. And when that house, when my dad purchased it, we worked with the neighborhood association, because I remember all those meetings.
Any questions for Ms. Cardone? Mr. Stanton.
Like I spoke to your father, we had a vigorous discussion last time.
Yes, but...
And we offered the alternative to change the SOQ or SOI. Our concern, and I don't want to speak for staff, but I think our concern is if we give you MN, we open the floodgates. You say that you can control this, you can control that, but if we give you that, it's like going off a trust.
Right.
This isn't really a trust business. This is regulation. I want to believe you. I don't think you would lie, but
right.
I have to think 50 years down, I have to think of my neighbors. What mm-hmm. if you do lie? What if you do have some?
Well,
if I give you MN,
mm-hmm.
nothing stops you from putting liquor there. Nothing.
But we say just declined.
You say you won't.
But just declined.
I know. But you say you won't, but right. say you, but nothing can stop you from doing it.
Right.
If I give you MN, I'm giving you.
Right. You're opening the doors. But what about the homes that have MN? That a year from now, 2 years from now, they can be turned down and something else can be built there.
But we're not them. You're
right.
here.
Right.
And you have a PD, and we offered the SOI. So we can't work within the S.
It's just very limiting to find a tenant to move in with that would be under that.
But the same restrictions that the PD has are the same things that you're standing behind. You don't want liquor. You don't.
Right,
you won't
exactly,
restrict
because
it.
That is our
so
belief.
All those restrictions that you want are already in place in
but
the
any
PD.
Other company, like a parts store, any other company that wants to come in, we would have to come back to the city every single time. And that could be something that we can do like 2 years from now, 3 years from now again. So.
I'm this is where
the building is not built there for like liquor and tobacco. It's not suited for there. I'm a school teacher. I would not want my kid across from Hickman to just go there. So I don't know what to tell you.
But you understand our position.
Yes, I understand your position. I've understood it since I was 12.
Okay.
And I'm a grown up, so. But we need to move forward. You need to understand that, you know, someone has been coming here for decades and needs this to be extended. Because it's a business, you need to extend it to get the perfect suitor for that business, for that building. And with all those limitations, it limits us. And you see how the economy is, so.
Were you involved in the PD when it was made a PD from the beginning? Since you've been involved since you were?
Well, yeah, I mean, I watched my dad come here over and over and over and over. I mean, I have VCR tapes of some of these people, like, so I still have them.
Ms. Carroll.
So, I don't know. I just wanted to comment on this line of discussion. What Mr. Stanton mentioned was the trust issue and opening up the floodgates. To me, I don't necessarily see it as a trust issue. If it were up to me, I like Mr. Cardone. I like you. I believe that you probably have been an asset to the community and you would choose wisely, but we don't really make that decision. We don't give licenses for business. We grant a zoning status to a piece of land.
Right.
And there could be another owner in the future besides you. We don't know any of this once we grant that status. That
you're holding us back for something that could happen, even though there are other homes there that could be sold for MN and something else could happen.
That's the way this works for everyone. And I understand that there's an MN, there are MN properties up there, but that wasn't a decision that was before me.
Yes. Right.
And I would likely have decided differently in that case, I can only be responsible for the things that come before me. And that's where my consideration is. I hear you say that you don't think your building is suitable for alcohol and tobacco.
Right.
And I think that's true. I agree with you, which is why staff's interest in that staff's recommendation was to keep it as PD, because the MM zoning by right includes alcohol and tobacco. So when they say it needs to stay as PD, it's for the exact same reason, because they don't
but
think
it's also limiting us from other tenants that do not have that business that want to come in there.
I know.
And it's limiting us, and time is passing. It's 2020. It's not 2006 anymore. I mean, we need to have some faith. I mean, we've been here for so many times. We wouldn't want to do anything to the neighborhood. I don't understand how that's not understandable. Like,
I,
you know, we put all that money in front of that big on Providence for...
Any additional questions, Ms. Carroll? No. Mr. Stanton, additional questions?
We understand all of that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The neighborhood has already spoken. You know how they spoke? By supporting, if you know how the coffee shop thing went, if you've been tracking this property, they had a vigorous, vigorous debate about that land.
I think that's
the reason
great,
why the PD plan was accepted and the PD plan for your land was accepted is because the neighborhood association was vigorously involved.
North Central.
North Central, that's the biggest muscle in town there. If this were, so what I'm saying is, you can modify the SOI to have everything, listen to what I'm saying, everything you think, and then you can exclude the same thing you're saying. I don't want liquor, I don't want adult entertainment. I mean, you can say that in SOQ and make a list of things that you want to do. And that's what we offered your brother, because I'm a win-win guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love your father's business. Little does he know, when I moved from Europe, I'm an Army brat, we brought our Audi 5000 down to your dad, he fixed it. So we can keep rolling. I mean, so I'm connected to your family too. But this is the thing. There's ways to do this and still make this a win-win, and we're offering it now. Mm-hmm. You can list a billion things that you want, that you can permit there, and exclude the things you don't in the SOI. I'm not personally comfortable giving you MN. Mm-hmm. Your whole family can be wiped out today. Where are we left as the city that made that decision? That's where we're at. Your whole family could be wiped out that door.
Mr. Stanton.
Somebody buys it, now what?
I believe we had this discussion at the last meeting, and
okay,
they considered this offer, and they've made a decision. I understand. Are there any additional questions from Ms. Cardone? I see none at this time. Thank you, Ms. Cardone. Any additional speakers on this case? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. Commission discussion. Ms. Russell.
I don't have a motion yet.
Okay.
my heart wants to say yes. However, MN opens it up to 24/7, opens it up to everything down the line. If you were to sell that because all of a sudden some reason your family needed to sell that property and it was MN, there's no control over hours, what sold there, what happens there. It is so close to a school and a neighborhood association of people living there who don't want a 24/7 business. So as much as my heart wants to say yes, my head is going to not support this.
Ms. Bacon, can we put up the zoning scheme and map again? Any additional discussion? I just want to say at the last meeting, I was entertaining denying the request, but in rereading the application and reconsidering the fact that the neighborhood associations have not offered any comment, albeit Mr. McMahon has offered some additional comments. Still, this has been advertised twice, and one of our commissioners is a roommate with one of the chairs and is fully aware of the case and has still offered no comment. I think that's significant. The fact that the original PD went through 13 years ago and neighborhoods change, my thinking is the neighborhood has become comfortable with the business that's there and is not as concerned. The fact that this is actually an island of PD between office and MN, and actually that we were proposing MN for the coffee shop adjacent to it, and that we do approve MN next to residential, and that's the intended use for MN. I understand that it's across from the school, but it is meeting the minimum requirements for what can go across the school, and if we don't feel those are adequate, we should be changing those minimum requirements. I don't feel like we should be penalizing individual property owners by applying additional requirements on them. So I've actually changed my mind on this one, and I'm going to support the request for MN. Any additional comments? Mr. Stanton.
The neighborhood already spoke. They spoke 13 years ago, and they spoke when we talked about the coffee shop. The PD gave them the provisions and the protections that they fought for when they discussed it the first time. So they've already made that argument. That's why PD is there. Those two PD plans were there, and they're like, okay, we got what we needed. We got the protections. We got the hours. All that didn't just come out of somebody's behind. Those were negotiated terms on both those pieces. So the neighborhood has already spoken. I think they're like, our points already been made. That's why this is PD. So that it does come back and forth in front of us. And if you modify it from anything that we've already fought for, you've got to come in front of us and discuss it. PD, they've already made that argument. Those arguments have been made on both those properties.
Mr. McMahon?
I love our discussions sometimes. I truly do. I will, actually, I want to echo Ms. Russell's few points. I mean, I feel for you all, I do. But Mr. Stanton's point is well taken. I will push. I have not assumed it's my position to push with Ridgeway and North Central, but I know they're not getting it. I don't know what's going on there. That said, I'm going to be where Ms. Russell and Mr. Stanton are on this, and I'm going to vote to deny.
Any additional discussion? Ms. Carroll.
Didn't the gentleman who owned houses in that neighborhood come to the last meeting? Granted, he rents those houses, but I'd like to reiterate that the rights of renters are not less than the rights of homeowners in this case. They deserve as much protection.
And I don't believe he was overly objective. He was worried about car lights potentially in the windows. So I'm not, did you remember a specific comment? I could not.
I don't remember a specific comment, but I believe that he did attend the meeting to speak on this topic.
Ms. Russell.
I do remember the comments he made, and he was in favor of MN because he didn't think that it adversely affected his properties.
Properties immediately there.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, we had two speakers. You had the owner of the Aroma Coffee House, which was supportive of the request, and you had the individual that Ms. Carroll is referring to that had bought up the homes immediately to the south that he was renovating, that did express concerns as it related to traffic movement. I don't recall, as either Ms. Russell or Ms. Carroll do, if he was in support or not, and I don't have the minute transcript here either to be able to provide you that information. I'd like to clarify a point that Mr. McMahon has now stated twice, that the Ridgeway as well as North Central was not notified. According to our mailing lists, both neighborhood associations were notified and have not provided any commentary related to it. And the North Central address was 902 North 7th Street that it was sent to.
That's an incorrect address.
That is probably why you don't have comments from them. And unfortunately, if we haven't been notified by the former neighborhood association president or the current president of an address change, we have no way of being able to send that correspondence to the right people.
I will fix both of those things for you, Pat.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're making headway. Any additional discussion?
Do they not have email contact for neighborhood?
Carol.
I'm sorry.
Any discussion on this case? Ms. Russell?
I'm going to make a motion in the case of 28-2020 to approve the MM zoning map amendment.
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. McMahon. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? I see none. Mr. Strodman, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Mrs. Russell?
No.
Mrs. Carroll?
No.
Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
No.
Mr. Stanton?
No.
My vote is yes. And Ms. Rushing is abstention, so motion fails to, does not pass.
Vote is 4-2.
4-2-1.
4-2-1.
4-2-1, thank you.
Thank you very much.
That closes our cases tonight.
And just for the edification of the public as well as for information for the applicant, due to the fact that this is a denial request, it will appear under old business on the city council agenda as it is processed through the council procedure. So there will be additional public comment received at the council when it is second reading.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Public comment. If anyone has any additional public comments they would like to make? Staff comments.
Your next meeting will be on February 6th. As we discussed, we will be having a joint city-county planning and zoning commission work session at our regular work session meeting, which will start at 5:30. It will be in conference room 1A here in City Hall. Meal service will be provided. And the purpose for this joint session is to discuss the process that we will be following for the West Columbia area plan. We will be providing an overview of the study area, the process of engagement, and then the content that typically we would be seeking to have within the document, as well as receiving any additional inputs as to topics or characteristics of the plan that the commissions would like to consider given the nature of the study area itself. So that will be the entire hour and a half work session, 5:30 p.m., again, here in Conference Room 1A. Show up and we'll have a good conversation. And it is my understanding that we do have an expected absence of Ms. Lowe at that meeting, and that Mr. Toohey will be chairing both the work session as well as the regular meeting that evening. If there are any other absences, please let Ms. Lowe and I know as soon as possible. And then you do have a meeting that immediately follows that at 7 p.m. Here in the council chambers. And these maps may look familiar to you because I was so eager last month to tell you what the projects were. I put on the meetings for the February 6th meeting instead of those that were discussed this evening. So again, we will have the Rockbridge Elementary School final plat. This was originally having a design adjustment with it. The applicant has removed, withdrawn those design adjustment requirements, so this will be a standard subdivision platting action, and then you will have a permanent zoning request for Summers Greer. This is down on Cherry Bark Court, which is off of
Vauder School Road, just outside of the Country Woods subdivision, which is a county county subdivision. Request is RS to R1, given the fact that this is an adjoining city property, a property adjoining the city boundary, and they're desiring city sanitary sewer service. So we will be discussing these two cases on your next agenda, giving yourself a graphic familiarization. There is the Rockbridge Elementary School. This is the site of the elementary school. It will include the stem that goes down into Rockbridge State Park that comes out of the back of the school. Recently, this particular project received has not received full board BOA approval at this point. They were seeking a variance as it relates to the parking requirements, our maximum parking cap. It was tabled and will come before the Board of Adjustment at its February 11th meeting, which is upcoming, of course. Doesn't have an impact as it relates to the platting action. They still would need to plat given the proposed improvements that will occur on the site, and they need a legal lot to do so. And then, of course, the Summers Greer project that is here on your right-hand slide, and that is at the very end of Cherry Burke Court, about a 2.5-acre parcel of land. Those are your items for the upcoming agenda, and we appreciate your attention this evening and the questions we had during our current work session as we were talking about the sanitary sewer service area and our sanitary limitations that we have as we move forward in continuing to pull together information for the comprehensive plan update. So we will get back on that topic on the second meeting in January, or second meeting in February, I apologize, and add probably some additional discussion topics at that meeting. Thank you again. You have a good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Commissioner comments? As a commissioner, a planning and zoning commissioner, I just wanted to offer a comment on the difference in support between planning and zoning and city council on a recent case. Planning and Zoning Commission is charged with making recommendations in connection with the execution and detailed interpretation of the comprehensive plan. So Planning and Zoning's recommendations are very much directed by the adopted guiding documents of the city. City Council has a different directive and takes additional matters under consideration. That said, when City Council makes a decision that does not appear to fully take into account the same guidance considered by planning and zoning, it can create confusion within the planning process. Instead of implying that the city's adopted guidance that planning and zoning bases their recommendations on may be outdated, erroneous, or not applicable, it may help to maintain some clarity in the planning process if City Council identified why they're supporting a specific project in spite of any adopted city guidance. Thank you. Any additional comments? Ms. Russell.
I echo your comments and move to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Mr. McMahon.